Thank you, Don. Now the debate is which side do they follow after? No, I'm teasing. I am very thankful to be here this evening, and I greet each and every one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tonight, this is my first night behind the new riser. I like it. It makes us stand up and not slouch over, for one thing. But I tested it out so I could make sure that my glasses were adjusted properly. But I apologize in a way for not being here this morning. However, I did go see my mother, who is in an assisted living facility, and I haven't been there on Mother's Day for several years, so I hope you'll excuse me for playing hooky here. But it was a good time. It was a good visit. And I ask that if you had had a Mother's Day sermon this morning, and I was told yes, because mine's not. And I hope that it doesn't get, as I was putting it together this evening, or finishing it up this evening, I got to thinking, and I hadn't thought about it before, that is, you know, this could be kind of a downer. But yet it shouldn't be, because we have a God that cares for us. We live in a nation thus far that is blessed. However, open your Book of Mormons to I'll start on page 716 with the Book of Ether, chapter 1. I'll start at verse 25. This is approximately 2,000 years before the birth of Christ. It is a prophecy upon this nation and this land. Maybe not so much this exact nation at this time. However, it is on this promised land. And it came to pass that when they had come down, just set this up a little bit. I take things for granted, especially at 6:30, that this is the Jaredites, and they are preparing to, they have left Jerusalem, and they're preparing to follow the Lord into the promised land. And in verse 25 it says, "And it came to pass that when they had come down into the valley of Nimrod, the Lord came down and talked with the brother of Jared, and he was in a cloud, and the brother of Jared saw him not. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded them that they should go forth into the wilderness, yea, into that quarter where there never had man been. And it came to pass that the Lord did go before them, and did talk with them as he stood in a cloud, and gave directions whither they should travel. And it came to pass that they did travel in the wilderness, and did build barges, in which they did cross many waters, being directed continually by the hand of the Lord. And the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth unto the land of promise, which was choice above all other lands, which the Lord God had preserved for a righteous people. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared, that whoso should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. Behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore, he that doth possess it shall serve God, or be swept off. For it is the everlasting decrees of God. And it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent, and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness be come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land hath hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which hath been manifested by the things which we have written. I hope there's no doubt that he's talking about this land of promise. I'd also like to turn back to page 78 in the Book of Mormon. It'd be the second book of Nephi, the first chapter. And I'll start at verse 6. This is Lehi, and he's giving an exhortation. I'll just read and you'll... Verse 6. But said he, notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise, a land which is choice above all other lands, a land which the Lord God hath covenanted with me, should be a land for the inheritance of my seed. Yea, the Lord hath covenanted this land unto me and to my children forever, and also all they which should be led out of other countries by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore I, Lehi, prophesy according to the workings of the Spirit which is in me, that there shall be none come into this land, save they should be brought by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore this land is consecrated unto him whom he shall bring. And if it so be that they shall serve him according to the commandments which he hath given, it shall be a land of liberty unto them. Wherefore they shall never be brought down into captivity. If so, it shall be because of iniquity. For if iniquity abound, cursed be the land for their sakes. But unto the righteous, it shall be blessed forever. I'm going to skip over to verse 22. But behold, when the time cometh, that they shall dwindle in unbelief, after that they have received so great blessings from the hand of the Lord, having a knowledge of the creation of the earth, and all men, knowing the great marvelous works of the Lord from the creation of the world, having power given them to do all things by faith, having all the commandments from the beginning, and having been brought by his infinite goodness into this precious land of promise. Behold, I say, if the day shall come that they will reject the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, their Redeemer and their God, behold, the judgments of him that is just shall rest upon them. Yea, he will bring other nations unto them, and he will give unto them power, and he will take away from them the lands of their possession, and he will cause them to be scattered and smitten. If we look back over history, we can see that that's been done. He brought another nation that put the Indians or Native Americans, whichever term that you use to use, on reservations, and we took over this country. And we set up a constitution. And that constitution was set up by our forefathers according to the principles of the gospel, the principles that are found in the Bible. But this country needs great prayer. I feel like we need to pray for God's intervention in this country. I feel like we're on a slippery slope, that we keep getting farther and farther away from God's commandments. Because this country was founded on his principles. I don't care if they try to change the history books, that's the way it was. But I feel like that as a nation we have a widespread failure to follow his principles and his commandments. To live by the biblical principles that we find in the Bible and Book of Mormon, if you believe in the Book of Mormon, which we do. We face economic problems, and natural disasters. I remember that Brother Sean Sprague gave a sermon, and it was on what's called the harbinger. I feel like God is putting things in front of us to try to bring us back to Him, to wake us up as a nation, that we might truly be a nation under God, that this might truly still be a promised land, that we might follow after His decrees. We have threats from terrorism that are getting greater and greater each and every day. And there's been a breakdown in the family structure. Since Roe versus Wade, 1973, as a nation, we've killed millions of babies, millions of unborn babies. We've shed innocent blood as a nation. And since we're part of this nation, we haven't specifically done it, but as a people, we have. The sin of homosexuality is becoming commonplace. We even have people that profess to be Christians that are seeing that as a normal way of life. We have preachers nowadays that tickle the itching ears. Pornography is rampant in this country. You can drive down the highway and you can see the billboards that tell you where these places are at that you can go. I've also read rumors that the Muslim Brotherhood is forming a political party. I should have checked into that more. I'm sorry, I apologize, I haven't. That's why I called it rumors, because I can't substantiate it. That's what's happening. But if that happens, they can overtake us by the use of our own ways. Our nation needs prayer. And it greatly needs it. I haven't done so much in the past, but here in the last couple of months, I've made it a point to try to remember to pray for our nation each and every day as I say my prayers. To pray that we'll have leaders that will guide and direct us as a nation back to the godly ways. I'm going to read one verse from Galatians 6, verse 7. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth..." Well, I'll take liberty and go for more than one. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." This land is a promised land, and it was set up on godly principles. But God will not be mocked. He won't stand for it forever. And I don't know when that day is. I don't think any of us do. I'm sure that those that are older than I thought back when they were in their youth that it might be then. I remember growing up through the 60s and how bad it was then. We had violence once again in our nation, as we're starting to get more and more violence today. But the crutch of my sermon comes from 2 Chronicles. verses have been going through my head for several weeks, and I know that Thursday, May the 7th, that we had a national day of prayer. I thought it was Tuesday, and I got really down because I hadn't heard anything from it. And I thought, have we completely forgotten about the national day of prayer? Then my wife reminded me it was Thursday, and I felt better because I did hear those things, that we still have a national day of prayer for our country. I hope I can set this up properly. Solomon, the son of David, had finished building the temple, and they had brought the Ark of the Covenant back in, and he consecrated the temple. And they had a week-long feast. And Solomon said a prayer. It's a long prayer if you read it, so I'm not going to read it all. But I'll read 6:39 because the summary of the prayer is that he would ask God that if the people would come and confess their sin, that God would hear from heaven and that he would forgive them. And in verse 39, this is just part of the prayer, but this is, to me, kind of summarizes it up. It says, Then hear from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which I have sinned against thee. So Solomon was asking of God for his people, that if they would do what we're supposed to do, to repent, that he would hear their prayers and that he would forgive them. And in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, verse 12, it says, And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I think back in the time when this was going on in Israel, we can apply it to this nation. Because those people were godly people, as we are godly people. And even though it comes from the Old Testament, I feel like that it greatly applies to us this day, in this age that we live in. that we need God's intervention to help us to turn back. I remember shortly after the disasters on 9/11 and the World Trade Towers came crumbling down, that this nation remembered God for about 2 weeks. And then we went about our way because we got comfortable. And if I read through the Book of Mormon and also the stories in the Bible, that when the people got comfortable, that's when they went away from their God. Because they were blessed. And they took it for granted, the things that God does for us. Sometimes I get that way and I don't like it. I hope I don't have disasters to wake me up. I hope that I can see what's going on in my life and I can turn from my ways. And I can remember that God is God and I'm not. Go to page 259 in the Book of Mormon. Because in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, verse 14, it starts out, If my people, which are called by my name. I just kind of want to reiterate a little bit who that is. 259. It's the book of Messiah, and it's the 9th chapter. And Amma has been hiding out from a wicked King Noah, and he's been preaching to people that were also hiding out in the wilderness. And they start at verse 38. And it came to pass that he said unto them, Behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus were they called. And now, as you are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens that they might be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and to comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as a witness of God at all times and in all things and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have ye against being baptized in the name of the Lord? As a witness before him that ye have entered into a covenant with him, that ye will serve him and keep his commandments, that he may pour out his spirit more abundantly upon you. And now when the people heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, This is the desires of our heart. But to become called his people and to be in the fold of God, we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and take that step of baptism. Then we truly know that we can be called his people. One more example, page 469. It's the 21st chapter of the book of Alma. When I first read this, I thought it was an odd place. Because what this talks about is Moroni's rent coat and the title of liberty. Alma 21 and verse 35 says, And there were many in the church which believed in the flattering words of Amalickiah. Therefore, they dissented even from the church. Now skip down to verse 38. Yea, we see that Amalickiah, because he was a man of cunning devices and a man of many flattering words, that he led away the hearts of many to do wickedly. Now when I hear some of the things that are out there from so-called preachers, that's the only words I can think to use, is that people that hear it, they may not think that they're doing wickedly. They may not think that they're being led away with flattering words. But there are a lot of them that teach a prosperity gospel that today might be your day. Today could be your time. And what they're talking about is God prospering you because you believe in God. There's an awful lot of people in third world countries I don't know as can take to it. Even in this country, there are those that do not get the riches of money and of glory, but yet they're God-fearing people. And they are true believers. Yea, and to seek and destroy the church and to destroy the foundation of liberty which God hath granted unto them, or which blessings God hath sent upon the face of the land for the righteous sake. And now it came to pass that when Moroni, which was the chief commander of the armies of the Nephites, had heard of these dissension, he was angry with Amalickiah. And it came to pass that he rent his coat, and he took a piece thereof and wrote upon it, In memory of our God, our religion, our freedom, and our peace, our wives and our children. And he fastened it to the end of a pole thereof. And he fastened on his breastplate and his headplate and his breastplate and his shields, and girded on his armor about his loins, and he took the pole which was on the end thereof, his rent coat, and he called it the title of liberty, and he bowed himself to the earth, and he prayed mightily unto his God for the blessings of liberty to rest upon his brethren, so long as there should be a band of Christians remain to possess the land. For thus were all the true believers of Christ, which belonged to the church of God, called. By those who did not belong to the church, and those who did belong to the church were faithful. Yea, all those which were true believers in Christ took upon them gladly the name of Christ, or Christians, as they were called, because of their belief in Christ, which should come. And therefore, at this time, Moroni prayed that the cause of the Christians and the freedom of the land might be favored. Moroni knew the source where he drew his strength. It wasn't in the armor that he put on, because he kneeled before his God and he prayed for those that believed in Christ, those that are called by his name. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." I read a quote from C.S. Lewis this morning that C.S. Lewis says, "Humility is not thinking less of yourselves, it's thinking of yourself less." We learned in theme camp that we need to put others first, even in the food line. You had to be there. But we need to realize that God is our everything. We need to humble ourselves. And what I mean by humble is we need to realize that we can't do anything without God. Not only as a nation, but also as individuals in our lives. We need to remember that it's not the I or the we. Got a little bit of time here that I have to spare a little bit. So I just thought of a lesson I learned a long time ago, and I didn't realize it was a lesson until I got older. I thought pretty highly of myself in high school. I had some athletic ability that was given to me by God and by my parents, I suppose. And I'm not bragging on myself. Hopefully you'll get the lesson out of this in the end. When I was a junior in high school, our JV team went undefeated. I was on the defensive squad, and out of 10 games, only 38 points were ever scored against us. That's 3.8 points per game. I had 11 interceptions out of 10 games. I thought I was the thing, man, I'm telling you. I did. I was doing great. I was doing great. You know, I wasn't particularly a believer. I had a concept, and I was brought up to believe. My senior year, the first game, I had 2 interceptions. I was on a roll. I thought, man, I'm doing great. I hurt my ankle. I sprained it so bad that I didn't play the rest of the year. I started diving when I was 9 years old. I had an uncle, a semi-distant uncle, that took me under his wing and taught me how to dive. I did great. I have a lot of trophies and medals from summer diving. I went to state my senior year, and I bombed out. And I look back after years and years after I became to know the gospel and stuff, I look back on that and I think, I understand it now is because it was I that was doing it. I didn't give God credit for anything. I was a partier. Didn't seem to affect my athletic abilities, but I was. So hopefully you see the story in that is I was not humble. I was prideful. And I thought I'd get scholarships to go to college, and I didn't. So the story there is we have to give God the credit because He is our everything. And we have nothing without God. Everything that is was created by Him. Everything. And prayer. Prayer is that communication that God wants from us. It's talking with our Father in heaven. It's asking for His direction in our lives, besides of lists of bless them and bless them and bless me and help me and make me do good. Sometimes it can get kind of selfish. I can, you know. But He wants us to pray. I think part of that prayer at this time is concerning our nation's needs. So we need to ask God to guide us back. We need to ask Him to put things in the way of our leaders and in the way of people so that they'll realize that we are nothing without God as a nation and as an individual. And then He asks us to seek His face. Isaiah 55. I've got a shirt at home that has this on it. Some of you do. It's a yellow shirt. When you're out in a crowd, it sticks out like a sore thumb. But when you have it on, you realize that you better watch what you're doing because you are wearing a shirt that professes to be Christian. And where am I going? Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He was near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And He will do that if we seek His face. I have a problem with this, though, is because I can't think of a time when we aren't going to be able to seek His face, unless it might be in the very end times. Because it says, seek His face while He can be found. I believe He can be found at all times if we seek Him out. We're the ones that have to make that step to seek. He's there, and He's waiting. To seek His face. And I got a couple out of line. That's all right. Psalms 34. Psalms 34, verse 17 through 19. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. There's hope. There's hope there. That if we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, that he'll hear us. And turn from their wicked ways. As a nation, we have many wicked ways. I talked about some of them earlier in my sermon. And as individuals, we may not want to call them that, but if we're not following after the commandments of the Lord and going our own way, is it not wicked? Are they not wicked ways? Jesus even said, there's none good but one, the Father. Many times in the scriptures it says to repent. To change our ways. To stop doing the things that we know are wrong. To turn from them. And don't turn back. Don't be as a dog that returns to his vomit. If you have dogs, you know what I'm talking about. Sorry. But what that means is don't go back to our wicked ways. When you've changed, don't go back. But I don't want to end this on a bad note because there is hope. There's hope. For one thing is in the prophecies that I read, we haven't been swept off yet. We're still here. This is still a nation that I truly do believe that we have many people that seek God's face still. But you have to truly say that as you look and what goes on, you have to say that we are on a slippery slope as a nation. I don't want to see us swept off. I don't exactly know how God will do that. But if it's true that the Muslim Brotherhood's forming a political party, they may very well be a force to be reckoned with. I don't know. But I do know that we have a God that wants us to be his people. He wants to hear from us in prayer. Because at the end of this, it says, God says, and then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I think it's geometry that we learn the if-then statements. Maybe you're wrong. It's been a long time since I've been in high school. But if this happens, then that will happen. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I want our land healed. I feel like it puts great responsibility upon me if I call myself one of his people, if I call myself a son of God, then I have a responsibility to do that very thing. I have a responsibility to seek after his face and to turn from my wicked ways because I know myself too well at times. And I know where my heart can go if I don't keep my eye singular on Christ. But like I said, there's hope. And I'm going to end this with a challenge to myself and to each and every one of us that can hear my voice, that we remember our nation in prayer, that we remember our leaders, that we remember those that will become leaders, that by prayer we can turn things around before it is too late. I hope I haven't been a downer on this Mother's Day, because it is a blessed day. But just remember, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Thank you for your attention.